Welcome to the Way of the Womb podcast. My name is Beck, I'm your host, and I'm a trauma-informed holistic birthing doula, womb worker, and earth lover. I am here to support you and all womb owners, whether that's through your monthly cycles and navigating the everyday, or whether that's to support your journey through the rite of passage of pregnancy and birth. My passion is to support souls to come home to themselves, so you can connect back to your innate power, your intuition, and the wisdom of your body, so you can feel empowered and live your truth. On this platform, we will be discussing periods, pregnancy, plant medicine, birth, trauma, mental health, spirituality, earth to body connection, and everything in between. This is a place for conscious souls to gather, so that together we can heal, thrive, and live authentically, unapologetically as ourselves. This is the Way of the Womb podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm so excited for today's podcast. I have the amazing Laura Swan on with me to talk all things birth and herbal related. So I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, it's so nice to see your face. I know obviously not everyone can see your face. They can hear your voice, but it's so nice to connect. So would you mind starting by sharing a little bit about who you are and what it is you do in the world?
Yeah, so my name is Laura Swan, and I work predominantly as a birth keeper. However, I've always held that to be quite an open space. So I do all kinds of healing with women in different trajectories of their lives. And I utilize a lot of wild herbalism in my work. I am also a trained priestess, so I do a lot of shamanic work as well. I guess I am always evolving. And that question is really hard, isn't it, to answer? Who am I? I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Still finding out as the days go by. That's so amazing. And so how did you end up on the path that you're on now, if you didn't mind sharing?
Yeah, of course. So my entry into the world was not good. It was pretty traumatic. And I was aware from a very young age, around about the age of 7, that my mother was like something wasn't right. And I had always been pretty perceptive around that sort of side of things. And she has had a real history of extreme mental health illness. And I think the birth for her, having as a child, having grown up through a lot of trauma and having been abused, she was almost fostered actually out of her home, and then was kind of saved by a great grandmother of mine who brought her over to live with her. But the conditions of this were that they never spoke about what had happened in the family. So it all got kind of deeply buried. And I think that was probably a very big catalyst for her mental illness, was that she could never speak about any of that. And when she had me, I was her first child, and it was pretty classic. You know, once you're a birth keeper and you're doing a lot of trauma debriefs and you're understanding it, I had forceps. I was born in the 80s. I mean, I had everything that happened in the 80s, the over-medicalization of childbirth suddenly really, really happened. And babies were being separated from mothers routinely. There was a lot of good girl behavior. Be quiet, shut up, get on with it. And as a result, she suffered quite badly through that. And I remember I got my notes from my birth quite young, and I was really like, yeah, they just completely floored me. And there was so much of an understanding then of so many things that made so much sense to me. But I didn't do anything with that information for quite a while. And I was sort of, I think for a lot of my childhood, I was in survival mode, and she was going in and out of mental health hospitals, trying to kill herself, like going through various difficult situations. So it was a lot of like, yeah, survival mode going on there. And then I kind of did the usual things and went off and had an education, and then came out into the working world, and then realized that it wasn't for me, and it was, you know, eating my soul. And I'd been very lucky. I'd grown up with an incredible father who had, you know, been this incredible anchor in my life, I suppose. And he had, from a very young age, kind of put me on the path of the priestess. So he was really into the Grail legends. He was really into all of the Magdalene and the Rose lineage, and so from a very young age, like, we were going to fire festivals and you know, wow, hanging out and talking about the universe. So yeah, I went on to do philosophy and dance as a degree, just because that was like the only thing that really called to me, and I got to explore all of these different religions and philosophies and worldviews and you know, politics and everything. So it was a really great thing to have kind of immersed myself in. But again, like, you know, coming back to getting a job, I was like in the world as a young kind of 20 something, kind of not really sure what I wanted to do with myself. And then I started doing a 2-year yoga teacher training, and I was really suddenly like pulled back into embodiment. I was really lucky. I had teachers who had done fetal embryonic movement, and wow, yeah, and they had a deep understanding of like the energetics and body wisdom for women. And yeah, I guess I started to break back open those things that had occurred to me, but I'd never touched on them in such an embodied way. And I had a lot of deep sort of trauma in my hips, and you know, there was a lot like dots connecting and things firing, and finally like a lot of an awakening of trauma that needed to be processed. And so yeah, that what I thought was going to be like 2 years of learning yoga just turned out to be like this portal. And it was actually then, so around about 2014, I heard the word doula for the first time, and I was like, bing, and I didn't know what it was. I just heard this word and I was like, oh, what is that? I need to know.
You're drawn to that?
Yeah, it was really interesting because it was just a word. Like, I had no idea of what the context was or anything. And I explored, and then yeah, a couple of years later I finished that training and I threw myself headlong into becoming a doula and all of the things surrounding it. And there were so many things that began to make sense for me in terms of my childhood as well. When my mum was particularly ill, I would get sent off to see a relative in the Isle of Wight, and she had this land on which she just used to do a lot of growing, and she knew unbelievable amounts about plants. And so I kind of connected back and was like, oh my goodness, like, this is really interesting, because I guess I was doing it, but in a really sort of joyful way. I was completely unaware of like the depth of what I was doing at the time. And I started doulaing, and I mean, I don't know about you, Beck, but like my first doula birth was an absolute baptism of fire. I mean, yeah. I walked headlong novice doula straight into an absolute shit show. And the trouble was that I knew it. And I also knew from so much deep study into embodiment, into physiology, into all of that stuff, I already had this really deep grounding into like what it meant to you know, disturb physiology. And so I was like, it was so obvious to me that when this woman, I felt so blessed because my first birth was going to be a home birth. Mm-hmm. And the woman who I spoke to, as many women are who choose a home birth, you know, she was deeply researched and she really was doing everything she could to achieve this home birth. And I felt very, very privileged that she'd brought me in as her doula, because I was totally open and I said, look, this is my first birth, but
yeah,
you know, I do know how to breathe well and I know how to be quiet and I know how to move my body and I can help you with that. And, you know, yeah, we just clicked. And she, I could see when I arrived that she'd called me really early. It was like the mm-hmm. middle of the day, the light was bright. And I was like, you know, maybe you should go back in your bedroom and maybe you should get some rest. And so I was just like so acutely aware of being there early. And then mm-hmm. When the midwives came, kind of maybe, I guess it was like 9 o'clock that night, it was just really fascinating because this team of women just came in and they were so loud and they bought all this stuff and they bought this energy and they were chatting and then there were lights being shone and checks being made and I was like, oh yeah,
and all the stuff they bring as well, it's not like, oh, I'm just gonna bring this, it's quite scary looking stuff that they bring into the space.
Totally. And she obviously, by the time anyone had donned a glove, she was, you know, she was kind of like, you know, for want of a better phrase, a lamb to the slaughter. I was looking at this woman who had kind of given up on herself mm. and she was prostrate to these care providers, kind of going, help me, what's going yeah. on, like, am I okay? And not once did anyone say like that she was fine, that she, you know, could whatever. She, it was all things she had to do, things she had to try, things she had to whatever. And I was just watching this kind of in horror and thinking to myself, like, and again, like having that sense of like, I'm the only person here who's staying back and staying quiet and holding her hand and stroking her hair and telling yeah. her, you know, just to stay calm. And I was like, this is, you know, this is bad. And then she got transferred to the hospital and I was able to go with her. And I was in this, you know, bright little room with her husband and her, and the pressure was on and the time was on and the things were starting to happen. And, you know, we were discussing all of her options and things, but of course, as we well know, once you get to the hospital, do you really have options? Is that mm-hmm. the truth? And I just, like I say, it was such a baptism of fire because I wasn't somebody who, like most people, didn't enjoy confrontation, but yeah. something in my belly like was raging. I felt so fierce.
Gosh, yeah.
And at the same time, so powerless because I'm just this woman who's been asked to kind of join her in the birth room, you know, what qualifications do I have? How dare I be there? And I remember just so well, this young obstetrician walked into the room, tapping his watch in the middle of her trying to have a surge. And he just said something absolutely horrific, like, you've got 20 minutes before we need to take you into surgery and cut this baby out of you, you know, something horrific wow. like that. And I just reared up and I was like, do not speak to her like that. You need to wait until she's had her contraction, treat her like a human being, please leave the room. And I couldn't even yeah. believe I'd said yeah. it. I was like, oh. and then of course comes all the shame and horror for speaking your truth mm-hmm. and all of mm-hmm. that, like, especially when you've never done it before and we're all tired and we're all like, you know, wanting the same thing, but it just Yeah, it totally, that first birth, I didn't get a slow initiation. It was like, you need to understand right now what is happening here. And
yeah,
it was really big. And you know, I think it was such a done deal, right? It was like, we all knew where this was going. And of course, she had the trial by labor, she had the trauma, she had all of that deep stuff happen to her, and then she still had her baby cut out of her. And it broke her. She was a shell of a woman, you know? And I couldn't believe it. And I then saw what we were up against. I then saw what women were dealing with. And I didn't believe for a second there was anything wrong with that woman's body, you know? Yeah. I just was like, what are you talking about? Like, what's going on here? It took me a good few years more. I mean, I was very lucky because women who hired me tended towards home birth. So I was lucky, and I just got wise very quickly, and I got a few more boundaries around, you know, and a bit more honest about what I would tell them. And even in some doula interviews, I didn't get the job because I was telling the truth, you know, and I knew that,
it can be scary to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, oh my God. Okay. Okay, Laura. You know, and like, well,
this is it. And you know, like, you, your own experience from your own birth, and then your first birth, thank you for sharing that. I think, gosh, you know to have that initiation and to see just exactly what you said, what women are up against every single day when they go into the birth room. And when you talk about that fire that like ignited within you, I really believe that fire, I don't know if this resonates with you, but it's like, of all the women, it's not just for this woman, it's like, this is for all of the women.
Yeah, goosebumps. Yeah, of course. Of course. Like, not just all the women now either, like, just ancestrally, and my own mother. Yeah. And yeah, of course, it's just so big, isn't it?
And it's so intertwined as well. And I think we don't always give enough kind of reverence to just how much the experience of our matriarchal line affects how we live and show up in the world today.
Yeah.
And it's something like as tangible in that birth space that it takes to witness something like that, for that to come forth sometimes, doesn't it? And it's like, holy fuck, like, this is so real. And it's literally detrimental to mothers and their babies, and then how their babies then go on and show up in the world and birth their babies. And it's like this, you know, when we talk about this cascade of intervention when we step foot into the medical world, but it's not just the cascade of intervention in that moment, it's the cascade of intervention that moves through intergenerational trauma.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm so glad you were there. I'm so glad you were there, and you held her hand and you stroked her hair, and she had that love as well.
Yeah, but I mean, it falls so short, doesn't it? You then feel the shame of knowing that there was nothing that you could have done that could have changed that. And as you say, you know, this intergenerational trauma, it has become such a big part of my work, like the unpacking of shadow work. Mm-hmm. And it's so deep and it's so painful. And it's really, you know, for any woman to chain break, you know, what we are talking about, like you say, this is not just them, this is not just their birth story, this is so much bigger and deeper than that. And so I think I've ended up attracting and working with women who, like me, I feel like this is part of the reason I came here to Earth at the time I did. Like, I cannot separate myself, especially now, like, looking back and seeing now this kind of tidal wave of change which is happening and of awareness that is coming about. I'm like, we are here, and we have, you know, as little droplets, each one of us, we get to like be part of this wave. We get to kind of join together, you know.
Love that. Yes, absolutely. And just thinking about, like, reflecting on your story you've shared through, you know, your own life, and how all of these threads were beginning to weave in probably before you even had the awareness they're weaving in, like the herbs, the planting, and, you know, your mum's experience, and you holding that in your hips, because we hold so much in our hips, don't we? And that's one of the places we hold our stories, especially through our matriarchal line and within the womb. It's just you were here to do this work. Absolutely. Like, yeah. It's written.
It was done. I didn't know, but it was done. Yeah. And it's funny, a couple of years ago, I had a healing session with a shamanic healer who's a very dear friend of mine. And she said to me then, like, this was before, yeah, well, it would have been before I was birth keeping even. So actually quite a long time ago, almost a decade ago, probably. Mm. And she said, you're going to help babies come through with your hands. And I was like, and I said, like, oh, you know, I'd always thought about training as a midwife, like everybody who has that inclination has, you know, and I'm really glad I never did. I would have lasted 2 minutes, you know, I mean, I really would not. Yeah. But it is fascinating, because I think what she was touching upon wasn't just birth, because I certainly don't actually really use my hands at all that much, you know, other than putting them on people. But I think she also was touching upon the more kind of esoteric and spiritual side of, like, conscious conception as well. Mm. And I do a lot of womb healings, and I've helped women kind of through a lot of healing in that sense too. So yeah, I'm still piecing together maybe exactly what she meant, but like I say, I kind of, the women that feel called to work with me, I work with them, whatever it is that's coming through for them. And yeah, I think it is really interesting, because they, all of those things do weave together. But I think there comes a point where you're being initiated on this pathway, and it's very clear from the way that things go, like where your blind spots are, where you're still like where you're still open to certain things, and where you're maybe still people pleasing, where you know deep in your gut that what you're here for. And yeah, I remember just a lot of clarity around, like, I just feel like, for me, no judgment on where anybody else's boundaries, etc., are, but for me, I can no longer work alongside anyone who is not coming from that traditional midwifery mindset. I can't walk into the hospital environment with a woman with expectations that she's going to have a physiological labor. And I felt really, really cool to, like you say, weave together this community of women who felt the same, who didn't quite know how to make it work, and who could hold each other as they began this journey of like being birth keepers, like true birth keepers. Yeah, I guess my story wouldn't be complete without, like, you know, folding in when I met Kemi, and just, yeah, it was very interesting. I met her, she was teaching a KG hypnobirthing course, and I was pregnant, and at the time I was pregnant, my father was also dying, and he was coming to live with us, and I met Kemi, and I just picked up on the fact that she'd said that she was on call, so she'd be a bit like just checking her phone and stuff. But I went to her in the break, and I was like, I just find your fire. Like, I find you so amazing, and I just love you. And And we had this chat, and I remember her saying that her dad was poorly as well. And so we had this kind of weird bond, and then we stayed in touch. And then somehow, I can't quite remember, but we ended up attending birth together.
Wow.
And then, just more and more came through, and we ended up a couple of births with where the synchronicities were unreal, like how we'd even ended up in the space together. But like you say, looking back, it's almost like it could never have not have been that way, you know? Yeah. And I brought a lot of that kind of more esoteric spiritual side to it for sure. And, you know, Kemi was like, just, you know, I was basically watching her midwifing like a boss and just learning so much. And we would just have these phenomenal conversations and debriefs and things and laughs and dancing and all the things that we do together. And it was so powerful to kind of weave together on the path like that. And, you know, it was quite a quick, again, it was like this real quick crossing of fire where we were suddenly on this path together, and we both knew, like, neither of us wanted to be doing it in the system, neither of us wanted to be, we just wanted to be keeping birth, we wanted to be holding it in a certain way. And yeah, we were just really, really aligned on that. And it became very clear. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, I just remember having this very clear calling as well from the herbs, like that I was like, I said to Kemi, birth is going underground and you need to get, you know, you need to get yourself ready. You need to like get what you need. And I think I sent her a bunch of stuff anyway, but then we ended up attending some births, and yeah, just every time, like, there was this really interesting and very humbling kind of thing of understanding that these herbs are also here as a part of this process, as a part of us, you know, coming back and wilding ourselves, and understanding that we are part of this bigger fabric of the universe, and we're deeply interconnected with that. And yeah.
Oh, that's just given me, I feel like I'm gonna have to put another coat on, I'm getting shivers off. Just how the synchronicity of both of yours and Kemi's journey kind of intertwined you both into that space. And I really hear you in wanting to support women that are going the more traditional midwifery route, because, you know, we just can't protect birth and support birth and in a hospital and medicalized setting. It's just, yes, we can to a certain extent, but there gets to a point where we can't. So I really, really hear that. And just when you said birth is going underground, I was like, oh my God. Really, really felt that.
I mean, it felt big, right? And it felt, you know, scary to some degree, but also like that kind of fear where you're like, you know, you've just got to, this is happening, either get on the train or don't, like,
or go home. I love how you said about their plants as well, and how bringing like the fabric of the earth or the universe in. I don't know if you've read the book In Braiding Sweetgrass.
Yeah, I love that book.
I've only just started reading it, but one of the things that really stuck out to me is in the English language, how we refer to animals and trees and plants as, when we speak about them, we'll go, what is that? Whereas in like Native American tradition, they'll say, who is that?
Yes.
And I love that so much. And it's like, right, I'm going to stop bringing that into my everyday.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And
like the frequency that the plants and everything work on, which we'll go into more, I'm sure, in a moment.
Yeah.
Inviting that energy into the birth space is just like, bringing into I don't even know if it's bringing into fruition, but it's just solidifying how interconnected we are to the earth. Like, we are all manifestations of the earth. We are the earth.
We are.
So why would we not be working with the plants that grow from here as well?
Yeah. Yeah, and I found it fascinating. I mean, I was using herbs and plants in my birth work, you know, for a good few years before kind of stepping outside of the system. And I always found it really fascinating how under certain moons or certain women, certain scenarios would call for different things. And I wouldn't necessarily understand why until it unfolded. And I just have this deep calling to like make something or use something or bring a certain thing. And then it would be so, so amazing as to how it would unfold. And yeah, I've had a few quite amazing things happen when I didn't know necessarily kind of logically why, but yeah, this kind of plants came through. And on Braiding Sweetgrass, reading her other book, Gathering Moss, at the moment, it's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful, obviously, but but yeah, it's another one for you.
that's the list I've got. You should see the list of books I've got on my phone. Know. It's just like overwhelming to look at.
Yeah.
Literally always learning. It's beautiful though. I'll definitely add that one to my list.
Yeah.
And so when you say them experiences that you had, was that when you brought plants into the birth space?
Sometimes it was around like baby loss. There would be certain things that would come about and just assist in the healing process. And it wasn't until I'd kind of researched and was like, why did that want to come? And then it was like, oh, wow. Like, I had no idea, you know? And so it was like switching off that part of your brain that like looks something up or needs to know, and actually just, yeah. I mean, a big part of my life is, you know, wandering about and gathering things and chatting to plants and things. And I'm on a kind of sacred plant medicine year-long sort of wheel of the year training at the moment with a priestess birthkeeper. And like you say, it's like there's a lot that you can learn and know, but you never stop deepening the connection. And like a relationship, you can't ever say that you No, and I think it was really humbling to start this course, which is much more, yeah, kind of sacred plant and shamanic dimensions, and to be like, yeah, just so deeply touched by revisiting or reconnecting or deepening that connection. And but yeah, with the plants, I've had some really powerful and some really humbling experiences in the birth room as well. And I've got a talk which I sell and I give to people, and I did it a couple of, maybe a year or so ago now, on medicines and plant medicines in the birth room. And I think it's a really tricky one, because with a Western mindset, someone would just have a bottle of whatever and use it, or hear that you could use this for this or whatever, without connecting to the plant, without, you know, having that relationship. And I think that's really, I think it's a concern, because we really need to understand what we're doing. Because another side of this, right, is that like we come again with that fixing mentality, or that something's going to go wrong, or that we have some way of preempting something from happening. And again, you know, birth is a complete mystery, and we have to be super humble to that. And I don't come to births with those herbs ever thinking I'm going to use them. And actually, I rarely do. I would never give something like prophylactically, like, you know, thinking that it could I've only ever used them where the situation was like very obvious, extreme, and needed, you know. And and in that moment, it's really interesting because obviously, as you know, when you're in the birth room, you do shift into altered states and you do sort of feel things that are so out there and kind of, you know, yes. Some births I've been like, I'm an anchor in that birth and I can still feel myself being pulled like into the ether, into the cosmos with this woman who's just traveling so far and so deep. And so it was fascinating to me that in that moment of like needing to use something, for example, in a bleed that was just brisk, like turning on a tap, like literally so obvious and big and couldn't have been anything other than, okay, this needs to not be happening. And it just switched straight from being deep in this kind of other realm to like almost a whisper in my ear, like get me, like boom, you know,
like the calling from the back, wherever the path was.
Which is just like so
so powerful.
And I think I see on, you know, various kind of message boards and various places, and I now have my own kind of birth keeper unschooling school, this matriarchal medicine school, where, you know, we're going to deepen into that. And it's, this is really important that we don't wander around with a medicine cabinet becoming the saviors or protectors that we have been trying to get away from, or misusing or disrespecting the plant medicine, right? Like it's
and that's what it is, isn't it? I guess without that understanding and connection, it is a disrespect to the medicine. And actually, would you say that in their moments, if you're using medicine in that way, the medicine won't be as powerful or work as well in them situations?
I mean, I can't say kind of, but I'm assuming that that would be the case. I mean, I just know for me that every single thing that's in my birth bag, I have actually like cultivated a relationship with. I've walked around and met them in the wild and, you know, like had deepenings with them that I didn't just call someone and say, can I order that or can I buy that and can I have that? It you know, and I think, like I say, you sometimes sort of see like, oh, I hear that this is good for that. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's deeper than that. And we have to be careful that like any medicine, an overuse or a misunderstood use of it can also create other things, right? Like, so
that's also an intervention.
It's an intervention. So, you know, shepherd's purse, let's just say if you're coming from the mindset of like, you see a big bleed, you panic. Let's face it, most people don't even know what a big bleed is because they have no context of childbirth. Blood is blood. They don't often see it outside of their body. It feels like a lot. You might be tempted to over medicate on that. Then you could end up with clots, right? Inside your uterus that are quite big, hard to pass. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot to be aware of. And I know for me that having used that medicine, like the tiniest drop is so powerful. And you have to trust so deeply in that administering of that in that moment. I mean I've seen it work in seconds, and I've a big bleed, like bang, seconds, stopped. And I did, like you say, I didn't have it near me, I didn't have it, you know, ready to go,
ready.
You know, it wasn't like a conscious choice to kind of have it nearby or anything. And I think we have to understand, I think if we're going to bring herbs into birth, we have to really, really understand what we're doing. And we have to really understand that if it's coming from a place of fear using them, that's not the place to come from.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so what would you say if there's birth keepers or doulas or midwives or anyone listening to this? and they wanted to start working with herbs, what would be the best place to start?
Good question. So I mean, it's tricky because in the UK up until recently we haven't had a lot of native books from here. You know, we have incredible books from like Susan Weed, Nathaniel Owens, like there's things like that. I mean, Nathaniel is in the UK, but Susan Weed and kind of her contemporaries are all from America. And so a lot of their plants are slightly different, or they have a very different environment around them. And I think what I feel really passionate about is us deepening into what is actually around us wherever we are, you know. And so
working with the plants from our lands. Yeah,
because I know that this knowledge was at some point with our grandmothers, etc., would have been common knowledge, right? So we're just recalling it. And I think one of the best things to do is to find out what is around us natively, to connect with it, to grow it from scratch, to talk to it, to invite it in. You know, I think that's really important. Incidentally, I know that there is a book that's being released in March in the UK by a UK birdkeeper person who is a herbalist who is going to be, so I'm not going to tell you who, but I'm in a couple of months when it gets shared, I'll share it.
Yes,
please. I don't think I'm allowed to say it yet, but yeah, so there's going to be a bit more of that. And I think it's not just this this deepening relationship, but I think what I said about fear is really important. If you as a birth keeper are going to births with a fear of hemorrhaging or a fear of X, Y, or Z, it's really important you do your own shadow work. It's really vital to understand what is happening there and to unlearn and to
decondition.
Yeah. And I think because you could be the problem, right? You could rock up and bring the energy of fear around that. And I mean, I've seen that happen with midwives walking into births who I know hold a deep fear for a VBAC or hold a fear for hemorrhaging and have literally walked in and guess what's happened. So
they brought that story with them. Absolutely. Right.
So, you know, that is one of the most important things. And I think then you kind of, however, and that is where, like, I think the polarities and, you know, my favorite word from last year was and I'm carrying it over into this year as well, because I feel like it's, you know, in some sort of free birthing societies and kind of circles, it can be thought of that bringing anything to a birth is wearing that cape and is bringing medicalization in. And I think that's an interesting point, and it's definitely a valid one, that you have to be very clear about that line. And I think you have to acknowledge that we are in a mystery. We don't know everything. We can't see everything. We don't know what could happen. Who, you know, stressed fathers walking in. I don't know. There's so many variables in birth that we aren't aware of. Even within the mother's body, within the baby, within whatever, that we're not aware of, that I think does create this possibility for the plants to be helpful when we need them. But I think it's a fine line with acknowledging fear and acknowledging what is like well-placed usage.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, hit the nail on the head. You, no use for a better term or whatever that quote is. But with the using the different things that you might bring into a birth space from a place of deep trust, and, you know, bring in the stuff, and they might just sit in your car and you might be like, well, I don't even need to bring that bag in because, you know, we might not need to use it. But also knowing that the mother might request for you to bring whatever you potentially may have with you, mm-hmm. As kind of a backup. And, you know, if she's in that space, then of course, having them conversations, are you, you know, where are you coming from with that? Is there mm-hmm. an element of, I don't believe this is going to happen? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's so many different levels to it.
Isn't there?
And I think, because it's so, people are so different as well, and people behave and thrive in different environments as well and work in different ways. And, you know, I've been to a birth where mum was like, you know, I want you to bring these things with you. I don't think you're going to use them, but to know that they're there, please bring them. And we didn't use them. And it was like, she just knew they were there. And that was like a safety thing for her as well, which made her feel more safe to trust her body and be in that space.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's this kind of, yeah, finding a balance, isn't it?
It's such a balance. And like you say, I mean, it's also fascinating when you work with women in these realms that the way that someone expresses their fear or lack of fear is such a spectrum, and how much are they telling you the fullness of everything. And, you know, it's just, it's very interesting. And I think as well, the other thing I wanted to say about that is that I've taken herbs to birth, and not even at the birth, but I've journeyed with that woman, as you say, having these conversations, which are great ways to have the conversation. Sometimes the plants bring that, they bring a way mm-hmm. to talk about our, yeah, everything. And so I think sometimes I don't know what it is that's necessarily happening, but in hindsight, sometimes what I see is a woman that's on this journey with birth being such a catalyst for her. When we interweave the plants, it's like she has her baby, and then I see her go off on her healing trajectory with her matrilineal line through the plants in some way, or through, you know, like, so you could bring something that seems so small and insignificant and that could be a catalyst for her healing. And so yeah, like, it, I don't ever necessarily know why I'm called to do something or bring something, but often I find out in hindsight that it's like, wow, yeah, these plants are such big teachers.
And yeah, that's so beautiful, you know, even bringing their energy into the space, whether they're sat in your bag, their mm-hmm. energy is there, and they're also being witness to the experience of what is happening in that birth space. And I feel like there's such an outlook that working with herbs and plant medicine is just a modality of healing an ailment. But actually, it's like, I don't know, booking to have a healing session, it's like Reiki or massage or something. It brings completely different element. Mm. And each one has their own characteristic. I mean, obviously, you know a lot more than me, and I'm wanting to learn so much more. But has their own energy and their own story. And it's like, wow, when we can tap into that and actually invite them into the birth space, if we wanted to,
mm-hmm.
like, they're also holding that space too.
Mm. Yes, and my teacher often talks about the dream of the plants, and I find it really interesting working in the space of birth, where, you know, my absolute hero or heroine, maybe I should say, Jeannie Parvati Baker, you know, healing the earth begins with birth. We're working with birth, but at the same time, we acknowledge that the wilder, the freer these births are, the more interconnected we become with the planet, the more healing that is for everybody, the more healing it is for the planet. It's like bringing the plants in is also this kind of way of them being way showers, and how we interconnect and be with Mother Earth and heal her. And yeah, and it's beautiful, because I think, like I said to you, I think before we we started the recording, it's like this new age of Aquarius is, you know, Aquarius is the visionary, Aquarius is communication. It's in the ethers, it's beyond form, and it's bigger than physical. And, you know, plants are so holistic in the way they work. They work on so many levels. And yet at the same time, you know, it's so easy when you sort of first begin with plants. I mean, children, like, they're so beautiful, they're so open, they really understand it, you know. And you sit out in the garden for long enough with children and they really do get it, and they're just so beautiful in the way that they connect with nature, and we have so much to learn from that, and to return to that, and to kind of really just deepen with even like the tiniest bud. Like, I'm so excited for Imbolc. I mean, I'm always so excited for Imbolc because it's like I'm an Imbolc baby, and like this is my time of year, and I'm a huge Bridget fan, and I, you know, I'm like, I love this time of year, but I'm so excited this year, and my son's just gonna start in a big forest school and be out all day in the forest, you know, and I'm like, I can't.
Is there room for any more?
yeah. Can I come? Exactly. But yeah, just noticing even the tiniest little crack in the earth where someone's been dormant and been deeply germinating so much magic. And it's just so exciting. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's nearly here. Yeah. The birth of the world, you know, or whatever, the birth of, at least in the Northern Hemisphere.
I love that. I love your excitement. I feel like I can feel it.
Like a child.
Yeah. But it's like that childlike innocence, isn't it, of just exploring. I remember when I was little, used to make perfume.
Yeah.
Used to pick things and get a little bowl and squish it all up. And I never used to smell like, you know, the greatest. But it was like that touch and the sensation and connecting with the plants, that something that we've so forgotten, haven't we? Like, as adults, but also as a society and as a culture.
Yeah.
You know, and this isn't new. This is ancient yeah. stuff that probably our great grandmas, or even, you know, that close back, mm-hmm. will have known about plants. And, you know, it's becoming like, I mean, I feel like there's a movement now of people beginning to remember, but you know, we've had a little bit of a blip where these stories have been forgotten, and I feel like I can feel the building of it coming back, and it's so exciting, because when we can connect back to that part of nature, when she is being heard and being connected with, that's when she thrives, that's when we thrive as well. Mm-hmm. And it's just really, it feels like such a special time actually. Mm-hmm. And so exciting. It's making me really excited.
Yeah, amazing. For sure. And yeah, there's so much to kind of deepen with, and there's so much healing to be had. And just even, you know, that acknowledgement of the seasons, the acknowledgement of that within our bodies, and understanding how important it is for deep periods of incubation and rest and darkness and fertility and those cycles. And I think, you know, when my father died, it was very interesting because I'd you know, in hindsight, again, it could have never been any other way, but I felt that I was, the more my belly grew and I grew this life inside of me, the more he was, you know, leaving his life. And I remember, it was so strange. We'd chosen to put eucalyptus in our garden here. And as a child, my dad, he gave me a massive patch of garden, and he used to always plant for me lemon balm, which is a big one for, it's such a mother. Lemon balm, it's such a nervine tonic, it's such a healer. And you know, I didn't have my mother around really, so it was really fascinating that he planted all this lemon balm. But his father, my grandfather planted a lot of borage, the star flower, which is associated with a lot of lung. And when I was little, we had this huge arching eucalyptus tree. And whenever anyone had a cold, I used to always make, you know, an inhalation, like a vapor thing with the eucalyptus. Wow. When I was little. And then when my dad was sick and he was living with me here a few years ago, I used to go and get the eucalyptus and put it in a bottle of hot water, and it would help him breathe. It would help him feel like he could breathe. And so, wow, it's really fascinating to kind of come full circle with it.
It's so interesting coming full circle with that. And then also your experience with your dad crossing over at a different point than you were crossing over as well. It's like,
yeah,
you know, and that's one of the things when I lost my dad, and then going to my first birth as baby was getting closer and closer. Remember having this moment of like pure presence, and that moment I'd had a few days after my dad had died, and I'd had little like blips of it since and had experiences and been kind of on the journey between them times. But in that moment, in that birth space, having this flashback to after my dad died and being like, it's the same energy.
It is.
And it's so interesting that you were in the house as well when your dad was having that experience, you know, and heading to your death and rebirth, I guess, as well.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so beautiful.
Hux was.
And painful, but beautiful as well.
I mean, it was so, so bizarre standing between holding those two things, because dad left his body when I was 38 weeks pregnant, and then Hux, wow, came 2 weeks later. And I just, yeah, I didn't, you know, I had such a big expansion of holding both of those, mm-hmm, truths of like the joy of life and then the absolute, you know, because my dad really was my mom and my dad, you know, he was everything, yeah, to me. And I think it very much, I mean, my dad's death journey, he always initiated me, like, as I say, from when I was very young anyway. And it was like his final act of initiation, because he asked me to get a death doula. She gave me my first drum. I then started to work with people around death a lot more and deepen into soul midwifery. And then I got lots of plants around soul midwifery. And then I started to deepen and learn more about that. And it was like, I would have never have done any of that stuff. I would have never have had that, you know. And I witnessed my death doula kind of closing down dad's chakras and doing lots of amazing work, and just was just like, as you said, in that time, it was just so pertinent. Like, you know, when you're a keeper of these sacred thresholds, there's no difference between the two. Like, they're just completely and utterly souls coming and souls leaving, and embodiment and disembodiment. And it's just like, so powerful to acknowledge that and to bring it into birth preparation, and to stop as a society being so horrified by death, because it's, yeah, a part of our lives. And yeah, it's a really important part of birth preparation that is, you know, hugely missing for a lot of people in their inability to kind of, you know, acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my God, you know, I just want to listen to what you've just said on repeat. Because it's so powerful and it's so true. And to have that experience that you had, that initiation, wow.
And we die in birth. You know, exactly. We do yeah, die in birth. We absolutely die in birth. And we are then in the postpartum, in this dark winter of the postpartum, like regerminating, you know, we're remaking, mm-hmm, ourselves. We're never going to be the same again. We're putting ourselves back together. It's so important to be so gentle, to acknowledge that we've just, yeah, we've died a death and we're coming back to be someone, yeah, different.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, thank you for saying that and for sharing your journey. It's so beautiful to hear, and I'm really, really grateful and really honouring you on that journey. And I think it's so important that the spiritual aspect of birth gets spoken about, because it's fucking huge. And I feel like everyone's still like, the physical. And it's like, yeah, we must talk about the emotional, the mental, the energetic, and the spiritual. Because that is holistic. That is the whole spectrum of it all interweaving together. And if we just focus on one, then we may waver a little bit in the other. And yeah, just bringing it full circle, as with everything, life, death, the plants, the earth, us, everything, like that full circle.
It's big stuff.
Bloody hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff. So powerful. So I think that actually brings us beautifully full circle. Love it. So yeah, let us know and let the listeners know where they can find you, and also what offerings you have. How can they? I know you mentioned one before, which I'm about to go onto your Instagram and have a look at getting, about, yeah, how they can work with you deeper with plants, birth, death, womb work, whatever, and priestess as well, priestess work, whatever it is. How can people find you and work with you?
Yeah, so I started my matriarchal mystery school in October, and that is a full 13 moons, year and a day. The group is set and we're doing it. And that's fascinating for me, because I've done, the year before I did the 13 moon circle for women who just wanted to deepen into the planetary stuff and the moon and kind of the cross quarter days and the fire festivals and everything. So this year is like way deeper, and we're going into birth and life and death and everything else. So we're in that at the moment. And then I have obviously birth clients who I'm walking with physically. I have virtual birth clients who I walk with, who just aren't nearby, but they really want, you know, to learn and to walk together. And yeah, you can find, mostly I post on Instagram because I love the format of like being able to share words and pictures, but I tend to do one-to-one sessions that are kind of, they're always the same price, they're 111, and people get an hour and a half to 2 hours with me to basically talk about anything. So whether it's birth or death or conception, fertility, whatever it is, I offer so many things to do. The most kind of up and coming thing I'm doing is an in bulk ceremony, which is just a little hour long Zoom ceremony on in bulk to honor that time, and to sit together and really be focused in on honoring that rite of the spring and the arising of the earth and all of her magic. And I mean, it's mostly on Instagram, I'm afraid.
Amazing. And what's your Instagram handle?
It's Laura Hart Swan. So it's, what is it? _ Laura _Hart, H-A-R-T, like the deer, _ Swan, S-W-A-N-N.
Amazing. I'll put it in the show notes as well. Thank you. Many beautiful offerings. And will you be opening the, after your 13 moons of the matriarchal school, did you say it was called?
Yeah,
matriarchal,
yeah.
Mystery schools. Will you be reopening that next October?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, I'm always in a constant evolution with my work. I don't really tend to like, so the answer is possibly, maybe not in the same way. Depends. And I'm just loving it at the moment. I'm loving the depth of it and everyone who's journeying with me, and it feels like such a privilege to be kind of present with that. So I don't know.
See how it flows. That sounds so beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Laura. Oh, it's been so beautiful. I feel like I'm going to be buzzing for the rest of the day now. So thank you so much for sharing and sharing all your wisdom and knowledge and your experiences, and just so much respect and honoring you so much for your journey.
Oh gosh, you too. Yeah, I mean, just thank you. It's so good to be in community with you, and thank you for inviting me. And yeah, just I just really honor anybody on this path. It is a deep, deep path to be on. So yeah,
for sure. Big thank stuff. You so much. Take care, and I'll speak to you soon.
Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Way of the Womb podcast. If this episode resonated with you, and if you enjoyed this episode, please take a screenshot and share this on your social media. Tag me at Beck Wallace Birthkeeper and drop me a message. Let me know how you found it. And if you feel called, please feel free to leave a review. It just helps other people to find the podcast so that we can build community and gather together. Thanks so much. Sending all the love.